LB, you're back. So now I'm jumping right in with these questions.
Okay.
Welcome back also.
Hi, thank you.
Do I look like Will Smith?
No.
Do I look like Snoop Dogg?
No, definitely not.
Do I look like Jackie Chan?
No.
Okay, because that's what this app says that I look like. This, like, stupid app, and I fall victim to it every single time, like, something like this happens on social media.
Also, I'm pretty sure the last time this app was a thing, it was, like, the Russians getting our information.
Okay.
So, like, I'm not clicking on one of those apps. I'm just saying.
That thought crossed my mind. So, let me tell you what I did before downloading it.
Okay.
I clicked on the name of whoever made the app.
Okay.
Couldn't find where it originated from, and then I still just downloaded it. But the Russians, it did cross my mind.
It was like the Russians or the Chinese or one of the,
It was the Russians.
It was the Russians, right? Yeah, yeah. I thought so. And I was like, no, man, I'm not like.
But that was like the, was it the Pop Sugar app or something like that? But this was a Gradient app and I am just so offended.
No, you don't look like that. I saw on social, speaking of like seeing that on social media, I saw somebody do that and get Anne Frank. And I was like, whoa.
I did see that.
Yo, that's a little.
Like, come on.
Maybe,
why even put that picture in the database?
Let's maybe not have that as a face option. Like, you know, what's, you going to put Hitler on there too?
Right.
And, you know, come on.
But the fact that I got Snoop Dogg, Jackie Chan and Will Smith, like, I'm sure they're fine people, but.
No, I don't understand that.
Come on,
maybe
better than
the
that.
The only thing I can think of is because of like how skinny, like your face is. I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing. Like I, because that's the one thing I can think of with like, but really only Snoop Dogg has that. But that's it. It's like the only thing I could think of that would have like gotten them to compare you to is like how skinny your faces are.
Like Jackie
Chan.
That's
all I got. Yeah, I don't. That's I bet you like a skin tone thing where they're like, oh, this is her skin tone. She's probably Asian. So let's give her Jackie Chan. Like, what are you talking about? Ridiculous.
This is the Topics and Takes podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host for Topics and Takes, Lauren Brownlow.
Welcome back to Topics and Takes.
Thanks. Yeah.
Welcome back, LB, in
Thanks.
The building.
Yeah.
How was London?
London is my favorite city. In the world. I love London.
Had you ever been before you went?
Yeah, I'd been, but it had been a long time. Like I was in college since the last time I'd been. I went right before I went to college with my parents on like a week-long vacation like in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed like right in the middle of a touristy district and whatever and, you know, did touristy stuff. I went for a brief time. I studied abroad at Cambridge for like a summer.
Oh, neat.
So I was there. I like visited... on the tail end of my trip there. So I was like a junior in college,
mm-hmm.
going into my junior year of college. That was the last time I'd been. My husband had never been though. And when the Panthers and Bucks, when they announced they were going to play, we were like, we got to do this.
Yeah,
you know,
like definitely.
We had to blow it out. And so we did. We stayed in like the Brooklyn of London, apparently.
Is that how they refer to it?
Yeah.
When they talk to Americans to like give them a reference?
Yeah, like when they're comparing, yeah, it's like the hipster, like trendy, it's like covered in really nice graffiti, like really pretty graffiti and stuff like that.
From the graffiti artist that went to art school?
Yeah, I guess so, right? Like it's crazy. And, you know, they got a lot of like trendy looking bars and stuff like that. Like it's wild. And we were in Scotland for a few days before that too, hiking and stuff like that. And then... came to London to do all the fun stuff and had a really good time, ate really well, ate a lot of Indian food in London, which, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that's a bit, I mean, look, listen, British food is fine. It's really, it's...
Oh, you didn't like the food, so you...
Well, look, British food is not known for being good.
Oh.
It's not. It's known for being not good. You just have to know what to... It's like anything else. You have to know what to eat, right? Like, fish and chips is the touristy thing to eat. But it's good.
Okay,
I mean, it's fried
and chips,
fish
and fries.
Chips are fries. Yeah.
All right.
They also, they have plenty of crisps over there as well, which like,
crisps, what are those?
Those are chips, basically.
Oh.
So those are like what we think of as chips, are crisps.
Oh, they so have, fish and chips is like the
fish and
equivalent
chips is like
to chicken
fries.
Tenders and fries
yeah,
here.
Basically. Or like, not fish sticks. I don't want to compare it to that because the fish is better quality, right? But like a good fried fish, like a cod or white fish or something like that. I mean, we've all had fried fish like that here, right? Like, just a nice piece of fried fish.
I don't even know the last time I had fried fish.
Really? Oh my God, I love
it. I don't eat a lot of fried fish or... I don't eat a lot of meat. And if I eat fish, I eat poke, like the raw
fish.
Sure,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
So,
Yeah, I love fish. So like that was like a big staple of like the Scotland diet for us too. And we like researched the places we wanted to go beforehand, and we had two great dinners in Scotland too, because their seafood's like legit and it's really fresh and good, and it was real good.
Okay, where all did you go?
We flew into Glasgow. Well, we flew to London first, then to Glasgow right away.
And Glasgow is a city.
Glasgow's in Scotland, huh?
In Scotland, okay.
Yeah, and then we rented a car in Glasgow, and driving in Scotland is terrifying. I don't recommend it.
Wait.
Yeah, we drove through Scotland, and when we ditched the car before we ditched the car, that makes it sound like we left it on the side of the road. No, we returned the car, took a train to London after that.
So they let like foreigners drive cars?
Yeah, well, see, we went to Europe last year, my husband and I, for like a 9-day trip or so, and we drove from Frankfurt around in this big circle through like Italy, Switzerland. We went like Switzerland, Italy, France, blah, 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 up through Austria and then back to Frankfurt. And we drove that whole thing.
It was cool. You were in London, then Scotland. You drove and you ditched the car on the side of the road.
Yes, exactly. Well, we almost got caught. We almost like got stuck on the side of the road because driving there is so bad. It's like the roads are so narrow, and half the time, like, there's not room for two cars. It doesn't feel like.
I experienced that in Greece.
God. Yeah, I'm sure. I was going to say, like, Greece, Italy was like that for us. That was the closest thing. That was the next closest thing. Like, those coastal communities where, like, they don't leave room. And you're like, hey, wait, guys, how's this supposed to work?
And I got to drive in Greece. And Yes, the funniest thing is that, like, they do not care. They are the ones on the road, and like you got to take that turn. If you're gonna take it, you got to merge. If you want to get in that other lane, like who cares if somebody's letting you over? Yeah, it's tough out there.
That's how Italy was, more like that. This wasn't as, they're a little more like us when it comes to driving. And actually, their like legal limit in alcohol in Scotland is real low. Like it's basically like don't. And I can see why, because the roads are so. Just, I did not like it. At one point, we sort of like almost ran off the road, and I told my husband, I'm like, we need to just ditch this car, and like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I got over it. We drove from Glasgow, we drove to a town called Aberfoyle, which is like near a national park.
Okay.
We stayed at a nice hotel there. We stopped and asked these nice people, like, what should we do? They told us, and like, which hike?
Okay.
So we
did they say?
Yeah, this hike it's to this hill called Banan. And it's like, we wanted it to be like not super long. So we hiked up this hill. I ruined my shoes in the mud, which I had actually anticipated that and brought a backup pair of shoes and was like, I'm going to just ditch these shoes and continue with the others. But yeah, we hiked up to the top of that. Then we went to the Monty Python castle after that. And then we went to
Is that from the movie?
Yeah. And also they filmed some stuff at Winterfell from Game of Thrones there.
No. Okay. Yeah. I saw on your Instagram story that you were there.
I was geeking out. Like I told my husband when I saw what this castle was,
I'm wearing a Game of Thrones shirt.
Yes. Winter is here.
Which it kind of feels like. Outside.
I totally geeked out and I was like, we have to go there. I'm so sorry. Like we have to. And it was a good castle. Like it was short to get through and whatever else. And it was awesome. Took some funny pictures and whatever. And then we went to a distillery, Glenturret Distillery. It's like the oldest in Scotland or something. My husband's really into scotch. I do not care for it. But because he was driving, he couldn't have any of it.
Yeah.
So that's how we got the meme that I ended up putting up of like the four stages of me trying the scotch. Because he's like, well.
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
Oh, I'll show it to you. It's like the new kombucha girl meme, because I'm like, all right, I'll have some of this. And I'm like, oh boy, because I don't drink scotch. But
I don't think I've ever had scotch.
Yeah, he loves it. And he was like, look, if we're doing this tour, like I want you to at least drink it. And I'm like, okay. And yeah, it's a burn. Like it's...
An Everclear burn?
It's yes. Yes. Ooh. Yeah. But not like as nasty.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so learned all about that stuff. And then we went to Edinburgh that night, which is like a really cool college-y town.
Okay.
Had a really, really, really good meal that night in Edinburgh. Lobster mac. It was really good.
Can't go wrong with that.
And like a 30-day aged steak. Like, it was really, really amazing.
They age it for a month in what kind of,
I don't
like...
remember in what they aged it, but like it tasted like butter popcorn. It was so good. It was like the best steak I'd ever eaten. That's what my husband had. We ended up like eating each other's a lot.
Because
he was like, yours is amazing. I'm like, yours is amazing. we did that, and you know, Edinburgh is just such a cool place and a really cool ecology town. There's like castles everywhere. We went on a hike the next morning that was supposed to be really easy. I'm sorry if I'm getting like too into detail.
No, I'm here for all of them. So I didn't get to go.
There's a hill that like overlooks Edinburgh, and like you can see everything and stuff, and it's really cool. It's called like Arthur's Seat, and everything you see about it is like, oh, it's not that bad of a hike. Like it's pretty easy. It's a little strenuous at the end, but it's not a big deal. It's a short like hour and a half ish or so, right? And you're like, okay, cool. I think that people who were writing these did this like in the summer, because I was all cool. Like, in fact, I was talking, you know, a little junk to my husband. I'm like, come on, yeah. Like, let's go. Come on, pick it up. Like, I'm beating you here. We get towards the top. Like, the wind starts going.
Ooh.
And you're like, your footing's a little more precarious. And like, there's not much keeping you from, you know, falling over off the mountain. And I'm like,
ooh, this is scary.
Yeah, and by the time we got up to the top, like the actual seat itself, I did not get in because I'm like, I don't like this.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it was so windy. It felt like I was literally going to be blown off the mountain.
Ooh,
like,
that's scary.
Yeah, I did not like that at all. So we did that, and then we drove to Glasgow that night, and
you go back to Glasgow.
Yeah, okay. After we'd done like the Glasgow to, you know, national parks, done that hike, then you know, on the way to Edinburgh, did the other stuff, and then Edinburgh to Glasgow. And had an amazing meal that night of seafood too. Oh my God. I'd never really had mussels before. And these
I've had mussels once.
Did you like them?
I don't remember like my, I just was like, I mean, I guess this is okay.
So I had, sorry if this is like inappropriate for the podcast, but it's whatever. I did tweet about it, so it's fine. I had one too many. And I did end up doing karaoke in Glasgow at a Scottish bar.
Ooh, what's your karaoke go-to?
I did Careless Whisper.
Never heard of it.
George Michael. It's fine. It's George Michael. Anyway, I thought it was amazing. My husband did too.
Is there a video?
I hope it never sees the light of day, but yes, there is.
Oh, so
we watched it the next day, and I was like, oh, dear God, no wonder. Because I had made another request for a song. I made another request to do a song, and they never called on me, and I was like super annoyed by it. Yeah, well,
and you watched it back, and you realized that.
I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Scotland, for what I've done. But then, so we did that. We took a train the next morning to London.
Okay. And where are we at on our days? Because the game was on Sunday morning here.
We took the train to London Saturday morning.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Saturday morning we took it, and it was like a 5-hour train ride, but it was cool because it's like you haven't had time to like catch up on anything, and that was my time to sort of, okay, what happened in all these games, all that kind of stuff, catch up on like the Thursday and Friday ACC games that had happened and whatever. And we got to London. My husband bought tickets for this like Oktoberfest party at a club.
Okay, paint the town.
And I was like, dude, we're going to be the oldest people here. Yep, pretty much. Although every time I saw people older than us in this thing, it was like, okay. Yeah. And everyone was in costume except for us, like in Oktoberfest, like legit garb, you know? But it's like a bunch of college kids, like, you know how it goes. Like, and they've been drinking since like 2 o'clock. We didn't get there till like close to 5.
Yeah.
The thing was over at like 7. Got a nice like German meal though, of like a sausage and chips.
Yeah.
I never had bad fries there. The fries are so good. And I don't eat fries that much anymore, but I did. But anyway, so we did that Saturday. Let's see. What did we do after that? We tried to find the Amy Winehouse statue, and we couldn't find it, so we went home. We tried really hard. I really wanted to find it.
I didn't even know she had a statue.
Me neither, but we like saw it on Google Maps. And Google Maps, by the way, does not work great there. So it was like this thing of like holding the phone up of like, where are we going? And then, so that's what we did. And then Saturday night, we went to this thing, which we also got tickets for, which was at a club like near our house that was like a 90s night.
Oh, y'all were painting all the town red.
I told him, I was like, we should
not. Or brown.
I was like,
brown
we are low. Too old to be acting like this. But we did it. And so the thing started at 9. Guess what time we showed up? 9. And when we were the only ones there. And I was like, oh my God, we are
so
old.
Did you forget
that we showed up on time?
You're supposed to come later.
I know.
When the party starts jumping.
It was so bad. But we had a really good time at that. And then we like ate late night food at that thing. And, after that or whatever, and Sunday was game day. That was when I finally saw jerseys. for the first time.
From like fans and stuff wearing their jerseys?
For anybody. Like the only, well, I had seen Panther stuff on the plane, right? I saw Panther stuff on the plane ride over. That made sense. But I had seen nothing. Like I had seen no like football jerseys or like rugby jerseys or anything like that. Like nothing. And yeah, my cousin actually lives there. We had dinner with her on Monday night and she told me, she was like, yeah, they don't really wear stuff unless it's game day here. Like unless it's the game day of their team. And I was like, interesting. Because that was, you see that all the time here, right?
Yeah,
like Americans
absolutely.
Walking around repping their team or whatever.
But on a like, random Tuesday.
And all of a sudden, like we literally start walking to the game, and that's the cool. Yeah, that's the cool thing about London too. Is like the whole city is like super, super walkable, which I love. That's like one of my favorite things about a city. If I can just walk it, and that's fine. And the tube's really easy, I think, to figure out. Like they're underground or whatever.
The tube.
Yeah, that's what they call their like subway, essentially.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about TV.
No. But yeah, it's super easy to figure out, and like it's really walkable. But we walked to, you know, one of the train stations that was going to the stadium, and like that's where we finally started seeing like, oh, and it's the most random jerseys, because it's some of it is just British UK fans.
Oh.
And that is a surprising amount of people, which I was not quite ready for that. We met this woman on our train ride that had been to all 26 of the NFL UK games.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was a Colts fan, and her husband was a Patriots fan, and they were like bantering back and forth about like how they hate each other's teams and stuff like that. And she was like asking me which American city she should go to see a game. She's like, I won't go to Boston. I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. But I was surprised. There were like a ton of like legit British. I guess it's the same way like people wake up early around here and watch like the football, European stuff.
Yeah, our producer, Michael Shelton, he does that.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean,
he's
really...
He's a big Liverpool fan.
Yeah, and everybody has a team that they pick, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it, necessarily. So it was just, it was interesting to hear from some of the people, and we
on
had...
On the flip side.
Yeah. The weirdest thing to me about the stadium was we get there, and there's, like, a line to get into the NFL Europe store, or, like, NFL UK store, or whatever it was, and they were like, if you don't... They were like, it's a 10-minute line. It was raining.
Oh.
And I was like, well, it rained a lot. And I was like, okay, you know, my husband and I were both like, you know, let's just go on into the luxury suite. We can come back out later. Well, you can't.
Oh.
Yeah. And they were selling no merchandise around the concourse. It was all food and drink. We were in a luxury, like a luxury seating area or whatever. Yeah. So like, but still, like we walked to the stadium just to see like, okay, maybe we can buy a hat or whatever. No. Mm-mm. So that was that.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was like no reentry if you went back, you know, in and back
so
out.
So were you able, did you wait?
No.
In the
and
line?
I'm heartbroken that I didn't get that Panthers hat with like the UK brim. So yeah. But yeah, no, it was a really nice experience, and it was great. And our seats were really good. I think I tweeted some of that from the game, and
that's awesome.
We were really close, and it was fun. We had a great time. They had like all these picture stations, so we took all these pictures.
Yeah. it was cheesy. I too went to London for this game.
Oh yeah,
the London Bridge Pub.
Nice.
Downtown Raleigh.
Oh, that was a great place to watch it, I'm sure.
Yeah, actually, Hayes and Sports Channel 8, they were out at the Ale House, and that's the one I live close to.
Uh-huh.
So I had went there for the game because I don't get NFL Network, and then I saw our producer from the sports shop, Shelton. He was there. He was at, like, he tweeted out a picture of his, and I was like, dude, I'm here at the Ale House by myself. Hayes, like, brings me a koozie, and I'm just like, I want to go hang out with somebody. He's, like, working the event. So then I dip out around, like, halftime.
Yeah.
And I go hang out with Michael Shelton at the London Bridge Pub.
Nice.
Downtown Raleigh.
I love it. Were there, like, Brits there? Or you don't know?
No. I mean, okay. It just looked like Panthers fans.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was cool. I mean, it was, like, 2:30 there. It was the game time because they're 5 hours ahead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But that was pretty much the whole day for us, honestly. It was just like getting there because the luxury box opened like 3 hours before the game and closed an hour after. And boy, if we weren't going to maximize that time, considering what we had paid like for those tickets.
For sure.
So we did. And that was fun.
They had to kick me out.
Yeah. No, pretty much. We closed the bar down. Or I did.
There you go.
I was like, I'm going to get some white wine. The guy's like, all right, no more after this. And I'm like, yeah, I closed the bar. Awesome. But yeah, so it was fun. And like the Bucks like ran through it was essentially like the tunnel to go to the field because we were sitting right behind their bench and they ran through like there's like luxury box people here and they run through like the middle and everyone's like gathering to take pictures and all this stuff.
Well, that's
so
neat
weird
for your husband because I know he's a Bucks fan.
Yeah, and their cheerleaders were over there and stuff and like he took a picture with them and yeah, so it was fun, but it was like it was a trip.
Wow, neat.
And yeah, we basically spent the next 2 days like sightseeing around London a ton, walking everywhere. And I took like 50,000 steps those 2 days combined. But it was great. I love that city, and it was really cool to like explore different parts of it that I hadn't really seen as much of. And my husband hadn't seen any of, so.
Wow, well, neat trip. Yeah. It didn't help the conversation for Cam and Kyle Allen any, did it?
Well, you know, honestly, like, and this is how dumb this is, right?
Yeah.
They'd have to lose a game.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because guess what? He could play great and they could lose a game.
Yeah. I don't think that we should, you need an L for the Panthers to see that Kyle Allen is not somebody that's going to replace a Cam Newton. I mean, and we talked about this last week on the episode, so we don't have to like hash it out completely, but I know it's something that'll rile you up, and what's better than a riled up Lauren Brown look? Because I don't know.
My thing is this, right? I think there are separate conversations to be had, and I know like NFL media doesn't do nuance well, right? And like a lot of times fans don't either. They just don't. But I think it should at least be common knowledge by now that Cam played those last, I think 6 of those last 8 games hurt. Maybe all of them. I'm not sure.
Well, I know he lost the last 8.
His last 8 starts, he was, right?
Right.
And that was 2 this year, too.
Mm-hmm. And 6 last year before Kyle Allen came in last year.
Right. Yes. Finally. Because I was sitting there like the whole time, by the way, screaming like, please take him out. Because he was obviously hurt. And, you know, eventually David Tepper was the one who had to intervene and be like, dude, this guy's not okay. Like, please stop playing him.
Right.
So if you don't know that information by now and you're a fan, okay, I don't mind trying to educate you. If you do know it and don't care, I don't have any time for you. And if you're national media and don't know it, it's kind of your job to. And I get annoyed with that. And it's just like to think of everything he's done throughout the course of his career, considering the type of stuff he had around him, the offense coordinator he had until Norv came in, the way he looked with Norv in those first few games when he was healthy, the fact that he's won an MVP, the fact that he's been to a Super Bowl, that's not enough.
We'll see,
for people.
Yeah, right.
But it's mind-boggling.
You can even have the conversation without even mentioning Cam. You don't even actually need Cam like right now to evaluate these games to say, hey, you know what? A lot of credit should be maybe over here on the fact that Christian McCaffrey has about half of the yards.
Well, and you know what, though?
Just by himself.
Right. There's that. The defense has played way better. What did they have, like 2 sacks when Cam was starting? And they have way more in the game.
I want to say I read earlier that the defense has accounted for about 54 of the points.
Yes, I know. We know these things. And the thing is, I thought Kyle played his best game against Tampa. I didn't think it was amazing, but it was very solid and good. Like, he hit some nice throws.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I thought he played well. He didn't lose a fumble, even better. And I'm not even saying that to throw shade. Like, that's the thing. That's what he has to do as a backup, right? Mm-hmm. Take care of the ball, get it to the playmakers, stay out of the way. And that's exactly what he did. And he did it against a pretty good defense. So, like, I have, you know what? I credit where it's due. But the thing is, we can't talk about seemingly like what Kyle did without it becoming this thing of like, okay, well, now we know it's time to get rid of Cam. And think about the sample size we're talking about here, right? 4 games.
Right.
Versus like everything Cam Newton has done.
Years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think so, unless we're both crazy. The conversation we have on this show is more geared around, well, the team is just playing better. They're just, you know, they're just playing better with Kyle Allen at, you know, QB.
I mean, I have a question. Don't you think that it probably made them all feel a lot better and give them a little bit of a lift to be playing with a guy at quarterback that's not injured anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, offensively.
But I guess, also you've had some upgrades. Left tackle was upgraded to some guys who were really protecting.
They lucked out on the left tackle situation. Yep.
And so it's like not only, like, I don't know if like the argument is like, well, Cam has all of this that comes with him, and so the team doesn't respond well to that, but they respond well to this guy. And so this is the argument. We know that Cam's not better than Kyle, but Kyle just works better with the team.
I think it's been 4 games. Like, that's just what I think. And I do think it is hard to watch a guy like Cam be obviously injured. And especially in that, the Rams game was a little bit more of like, you couldn't really tell, I feel like. That was more of just like a, something's, you know, he's not playing great. But like the Tampa game, it was pretty obvious. Like, even on the broadcast, they were talking about it. Like, he doesn't look right. Because he didn't. And, you know, so, like, I think that that, if you're knowing that you're playing against a guy that's hurt, and P.S., like, I know Todd Bowles, I think, said something about, like, Tampa's defensive coordinator said something about the Panthers are harder to scheme against with Kyle. Yeah, they should be. Because, like, he had to have watched tape and been like, oh, Cam's not right. Like, okay, he can't run. We know he can't run. His mechanics are all off. He's hurt. Of course that's going to be a little... All you have to do is shut down Christian McCaffrey and you're good at that point, right?
Yeah.
You know? Of course that's going to be easier to scheme against. Like, it's not complicated, people.
So I think we heard that Cam may be coming back soon after this bye. God. What do you think happens?
I think that they play Kyle still against San Francisco.
Okay.
And I actually kind of hope they do because it's probably going to be the toughest team they've played.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be the toughest team
they've played. I mean, they're currently undefeated. They... I'm sure Washington people, you know, next, but that's a win in my books.
It should be, yeah. But I mean, I'm sure people will handle that extremely well if Cam came back and didn't play well against the best team they've played in that span. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what drives me crazy too. And the thing is, so that conversation of like the framing of that, because they, on the national broadcast when they talked about this last night, they also talked about Drew Brees and like how Teddy Bridgewater put himself in great position in free agency and whatever. Well, they're undefeated without Drew Brees. I mean, am I saying Cam and Drew Brees are the same? No, I'm not trying to say that. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, why is it just assumed? Drew Brees is on the upper edge of his career, too. Like, what's the difference?
When I brought that up, it was thrown back at me. Well, Cam lost games before.
Oh, my God.
Drew didn't. Except for, well, what? I mean, they went to
He lost
court.
The game that they just got a freaking rule change for.
Yeah.
Because he threw a pick in overtime.
Fair. But like, yeah, the last eight games Cam has lost. And so those are like the arguments.
Oh, QB wins is this, when people throw that out as a thing,
because it makes it seem like it's literally only this deciding factor when there are tons of different factors.
And P.S.,
that go
if that's the case, then why are you ever drafting a guy out of college that didn't win games? Why is Daniel Jones going that high if they care about QB wins?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Like, Baker Mayfield's take on that, by the way, was garbage. Like, about Daniel. You could say Daniel
GQ
didn't look good.
Interview?
Right. You could say Daniel didn't look good to you. Okay, cool. I can get, you know, I understand that. But if you want to say, like, how many games did they win? Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're at Oklahoma versus him being at Duke. You don't want to talk about the resource difference there, dude? Okay. Yeah. Cool. You know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's nuance to every single freaking situation.
So to kind of, like, simplify it as far as, like, a QB.
Jeez.
This is all that we need to look at.
Yeah. There are games that
that's
Cam.
Silly.
Although this didn't happen as often, to be fair. But there are games that Cam played poorly and they won, but that, like I said, that didn't happen as often. Yeah. Usually he has, almost his entire career, he's had to play well. There's been exceptions, obviously, like 2015, that defense was good enough to win games for him.
Yeah.
For sure, and this defense appears to be, man, they've looked very good. I've been pretty impressed, and it's been fun to watch them play defensively. So, and I hate it. I don't want it to come down to like Kyle versus, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad I'm glad they have a backup.
Right. It's almost like, oh, good. This is a great person we have.
This is a great development that they lucked into. And no one will convince me they didn't look into this, because if they thought that he was this good, they would have already been playing him.
Yes.
Because we all saw that Cam was hurt. So, like, for the people that are like, well, let's just let the coaches make that decision. Okay, well, where were the coaches when Cam was limping around and everybody could tell he was hurt and they were still like, nope, I'm not going to play him?
No, he said he wasn't. So, has Sad Panthers fan become okay Panthers fan?
Well, it's okay. It's a complicated thing, right?
Aside from the larger, like, the conversation that's like,
but see, that's hard because you can't escape it. You know what I mean? And it just pervades every freaking aspect of things. That's why it was almost kind of nice to watch the game the way I did last week, because it wasn't like...
You didn't feel the American media
right.
Ignorance.
I didn't have to like hear the chirping. I didn't have to like read the tweets.
Yeah.
You know, I could just enjoy it. And that was nice. I did just sort of sit back and enjoy it. And like...
Because you're 4-2.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and turn that frown upside down.
No, I'm not. I'm not frowning. I'm not frowning. I just... You know, I want it. You know, we've talked about this on this podcast before.
Yeah.
This is a separate conversation. The hypothetical given was if Cam comes back fully healthy, who would you start? And like, to me, people that would actually frame that as a debate make me want to scream.
Because like, why is that even a question?
Now, if you want to frame it as like, hey, when they bring Cam back, he's not going to be 100%. And then who do you go with? Okay, that's a conversation that I'm willing to have, because I would agree with you. Like, there's no way to, but that the way they were framing it on the broadcast and the way I've seen it framed otherwise is when Cam comes back 100% healthy. And I'm like, no, sweetie, no. That's not,
I'm not going to do that.
That's not a debate. Like, that's not a debate. The question is he going to be fully healthy? Is he going to be fully right? And I don't know that I'm convinced. And like I've told you before here, I don't know that I think he's ever going to be
100% healthy.
That's just my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong. I just don't think he is. I don't think he is. So,
is there a benefit to seeing what he can do at 80 and above, 80% and above?
I mean, I have a feeling that's probably what we will see him at. Yeah, and that's, you know, certainly better than the 40 or so that we were probably seeing. That'd be my guess. Is closer to 80 or so, and yeah, because here's the thing: the best case scenario out of all this, right, is potentially, you know, the Panthers can get out of this one way or the other a tradable asset, right?
You mean
whether that's
as
Cam or Kyle or whomever.
Yeah.
Now, I am of the opinion, and I, like I said, I hope I'm wrong, that you can't give Cam the kind of money you would have to give Cam with what's been going on with him from an injury perspective. Like,
he's lost money, basically.
From the Panthers' perspective, I don't think they can do that.
Right.
Like, I just don't think they can. But if they suddenly want to give Kyle Allen a big contract, my head will explode. Because I just don't think I don't see that as the answer yet. Not even close. So we'll see. I mean, it could be that they make him play out that last year of his deal, even though his agent doesn't typically like to let that happen. I don't know that they're going to have much of a choice. And if he can play out the end of this year and then like into next year and look okay, that might be what they're banking on. But he's not getting that next big deal without showing that he can play healthy. He's just not.
So there's no way for the Panthers to use both of the quarterbacks
Yeah.
How would you see that playing out? Because it almost seems like it's kind of like a giant situation. Sorry, Eli, you lost your job. Daniel Jones, let's do it. We're rolling with you. But in this case, you have, you know, similar where, you know, Eli has been with that organization for a minute, Cam as well. But Cam is, like, far superior than Kyle.
It's not, I was going to say, it's not really the same thing exactly. But
right.
My point is, I think, like, in the next couple of years, I don't think either of these guys is the future quarterback of the Panthers. In my opinion. We'll see. Certainly, I'd love to keep Kyle around as a backup, whatever happens, because he's plenty capable.
What do they do with Will?
I don't know. That makes me even more furious about that draft pick. Third round. Couldn't have gotten anybody else better there? Okay, yeah. Cool. But that's the thing. Like, so for people to be like, oh, you know, they just need to give Kyle a chance and whatever, you know, they knew. I'm like, they didn't know anything. If they had known anything, we would not have seen them draft Will Greer, and we would have not have seen them push a limping Cam out there 11 days after spraining his foot in the preseason.
Right.
Like, we just wouldn't have. So, yeah. We'll see. I mean, I don't think either of them are the few. Those are separate conversations, though, right? Like, should the Panthers re-sign Cam Newton is a different conversation than, like, should they keep an 100% Cam on the bench for Kyle freaking Allen? God.
I feel like Cam is going to bow out gracefully and is just going to move on to other... You know, he has a cigar shop down in Atlanta.
And you know what? I think, if anything, this parallels for me a little bit like the Andrew Luck situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where
absolutely.
Maybe he's just never going to be right mentally either, physically and mentally.
Yeah.
You know, he just can't, you know, can't get
especially
his head.
Especially in Andrew Luck's case, earlier in the year, he had those same conversations with injuries and things like that.
So that wouldn't surprise me either.
Aren't they around the same age?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Andrew's a year older than Cam, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. It really wouldn't.
It's such a shame.
I know. It's a brutal game, though. It really
is. It is, yeah.
And it's not the way Cam plays, because that's also been... I've seen that tweeted.
So what do you think about this year's QB situation? Across the league, it looks like quarterbacks are dropping like flies, whether for a couple of weeks or like...
You're right.
I don't know if this is like anything new, but it certainly shocks me the fact that everybody's you know switching roles and you know.
Yeah, I don't know that. The thing is, I just don't know that a lot of them are all that similar. You know, it's like
no, very different in some ways. Where somebody retires and somebody got mono, got hurt.
But I forgot about the mono.
Shout out Sam Darnold. But the fact is, it's just the
QB situation. Yeah. Like, what is going on?
Well, I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks I feel like we've been watching a long time are getting up there, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy to say, right? But, like, Brady is, Breeze is.
Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. And that's he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, these guys are getting a little older too, and it's a tough game. I mean, I think what happened to like Patrick Mahomes is just sort of a freak game.
Yeah, and that was what, last night?
Yeah. Goodness. I mean, I saw Andy Reid getting some criticism for that. I don't know that I'm with that. Like, they sneak Tom Brady like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's just something that happens, you know?
I mean, I also have a Patrick Mahomes like similar. If you're listening to this, Patrick Mahomes, like, it gets better. I dislocated my knee.
Oh, did you?
About 10 years ago.
Okay.
In high school, I was in dance practice.
That would freak me out so much. Oh, my God.
You know, Patrick, it gets better. You'll be able to bounce back from this, man.
Well, they were saying like 4 to 6 weeks. How long did it take you?
I don't know. They kept weight off of it for a week.
Okay.
And then I went and they like scheduled some sort of physical training or physical therapy for it. I think I did that for like a week. And then, yeah, I think that was pretty much it. I wore a brace. Like, I don't think I really took care of it that well. But I can tell you when it's going to rain and when it's cold.
Really?
Because my knee will start to ache.
Does it get scary? Like, do you feel like it's going to happen again?
It did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, about a couple of years ago.
Because it makes it more likely to happen, right?
I think so. Yeah. Because I was like cleaning my room and I had this desk in my room and my knee like hit the leg. And it like popped out. Is this too much for podcast?
No, it's fine. I just like,
people might be cringing right now.
I feel like I would be horrified if I saw something.
It popped back in this time.
But like, did you have to pop it back in?
No, it did on its own. I was like kind of like hobbling to my bed.
Oh my God.
And then it flipped back in. But the first time I went to the hospital because in the dance studio, like I had like the IVs like weren't taking in my arm or whatever. And so they took me in an ambulance, got to the hospital. A doctor came in to try and pop it back in. It didn't work. They had to get a second doctor. So two doctors on my knee trying to pop it back in.
Did you have like anesthesia or anything? Like,
yes.
Okay. Okay.
And then they brought this black lady in to give it to me in my vein because like they tried like seven times. And I was also like poor. Like I did not drink a lot of water. I was always dehydrated, things like that.
Yeah.
So my veins were just like not taken. But they brought this black lady in. She was like, I'm going to get this stuff is. So she got it. And then after a while, I started to feel better.
Wow.
It was actually around this time because I remember they offered me this Halloween coloring book or something. It was like 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's the 10 year anniversary of me dislocating my knee. And you got to listen to me, bro. It's going to get better.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like he was like, you know, and I know Aaron Andrews took some criticism for reporting about it like this, but like, she was just sort of trying to read body language. And I get what she's saying. Like, if it's a season ender and you know that right away, like, everybody's going to be responding way differently than, like, if you know it's a temporary thing and it'll get better. And I think that's what she was trying to sort of read without. And I think she probably was hearing that, but she couldn't say that without solid confirmation. So she's like, yeah, you know, it's, people weren't that upset. And you know, I was like, interesting.
Yeah, he's in good hopes. He tweeted out, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not bad. It's, you know, good. Everything's
that was
right.
The most of a non-Panthers game I've watched this year. And I don't know why, because it was so horrible. I just, like, couldn't turn away from it. Like, Joe Flacco, I was so sad for him.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks,
right,
aging.
Right, talking about quarterbacks. Woo! What happened to the man?
Oof. It was brutal. And, like, Denver is such a... That's such a live place to play, and like to hear that crowd, like, just so, it was so sad to hear them like that.
It was funny. The announcers were like,
get out of here.
They were like, I'm surprised the fans are still here.
I mean, and apparently it was like a lovely night in Denver. It's like, it's usually cold this time of year. Denver's a great city too. I don't know if you've never been.
No, I've never been.
Oh my God, Denver's awesome. So like, I mean, he was one step away from just being like, go out and go to like a brewery or something and get out of here. What are you doing?
Come on. This city's beautiful. Go have some fun. You don't want to be here. You don't want to see this.
I felt attacked. But then, then I listened long enough to hear the Cam thing and was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So it was a depressing broadcast. Got to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was depressing for me the moment Patrick Mahomes went out. I've been a big fan of him.
Me too. I like him a lot.
No, another QB.
Yeah. And I love the way he plays and, you know, obviously Matt Moore 1-0, so the controversy begins, right?
Oh yeah. Oh no, definitely. We had that conversation. What does this mean?
Not seriously, we didn't.
It was like a joke.
Okay, good. Well, like, I'm just checking,
poking fun, and oh no, yeah, because you have to check with those guys.
Well, you have to check with not just them.
Yeah. Just kind of poking fun at the silly conversations that we have around Cam and Kyle. And so.
Sure.
Anytime. I mean, we did it with
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, this is way too complicated of a sport and way too dependent on multiple people doing their jobs correctly to attribute. Obviously, if a quarterback wins a lot of games, it certainly isn't indicative that he stinks. Like, no one's going to say that. But at a certain point, like, come on. What are we talking about? Yeah. Come on, people. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Well, welcome back, LB.
Thank you.
To America, back to the States.
Thanks.
It's been great chopping up some NFL with you.
Yeah, for sure.
NBA is starting up.
College
basketball season's starting up.
Yeah, I need to catch up on college basketball because Operation Basketball happened. Our flight left that night, so I couldn't go to it.
I asked Roy about dancing.
Did you?
I did.
What did he say?
I told him that I didn't know that he was a dancer. He was like, yeah, neither did I.
Yes, he does.
He said that he hadn't done the electric slide in like 30 years.
That's about right. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. He's had like a knee replacement or two, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's a leg-heavy dance.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get into those topics when the season comes, but welcome back.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Topics and Takes podcast with host Lauren Brownlow. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Topics and Takes podcast.